Thank you for taking the time to download and listen to this free podcast from Celtic Underground. You can subscribe and like and listen to your podcast wherever you pick up your podcast feed. You can also subscribe at theCelticUnderground.substack.com, where you will get email notification of new content as soon as it is out. And you can subscribe for free, or there'll be plenty of free content, articles and podcasts. But also, you can pay a small subscription and you'll get extra special content. Anyway, enough of me. On to today's free podcast. Welcome to the Celtic Underground podcast. This week I am joined again by Andrew. So just before we start, there was somebody else. Eddie Pearson was supposed to be on, but he ended up being a taxi driver tonight. So not literally. I mean, for his kids. So he's not.
Can he get me a job?
You're Sir Hughes. Knew that.
Oh, I thought about becoming a delivery driver, actually. My wife says, no, you've got too much road rage. You couldn't do that, driving about all day. Can you imagine the fights you would get? Because, you know, before I joined Celtic Underground, I applied to become a traffic warden because I thought I'd love arguing with people for 29 grand a year. I might have found my niche.
I'm quite zen in the car, actually. I think I've said on here before, my wife and I have both agreed that, so our son will be, oh God, 16 in about 3 weeks' time. So in a year's time, we'll be wanting to drive. And we both agreed that I am the only one who'll be taking him out. That she has too much rage in the car, whereas I'm like, one of the few places that I am zen is in the car.
She's my kind of person. It's like, you know, I've been in therapy for this kind of thing. Anger management. I've been in therapy for anger management. Until I come into Celtic Underground, I thought, as I say, I was quite an angry person. And then I see, until I became closer to the supporters again, I thought, I'm supposed to be Mr. Angry. My equilibrium's better than I thought it was. I need to go back and see that guy. You know why I had to stop going? Because he looked like Rolf Harris. And I thought, couldn't he take him seriously? He didn't then wear didgeridoo, by the way, to try and get anger.
You thought he was taking notes. And then he would turn around and say, can you guess what it is?
Can you guess what your problem is yet?
Well, at least you were a bit older when you went to see him. That would be safe as well. So
it would be.
Yes. So first of all, we're going to mainly do a preview of the Stuttgart game because for once you've done some research. Not for once that you've done research. For once a podcast will have research in it. but we'll cover the Kilmarnock game. We'll cover the Kilmarnock game first of all. I had the good fortune to be at the Kilmarnock game. Someone I know goes to all away games by hospitality, and he had a friend of a friend, and he listens to this. So I occasionally get to go along as well, and I was there at Rugby Park, and it's magic. Because it's quite funny, they know, like, they've got hospitality, and the guy's like, thanks everybody for coming, you know, some regular faces that I recognise, also some other faces who only seem to be here at hospitality when there's a Celtic game on, you know, that type of thing. And then we're in the main stand sitting there. So when Kilmarnock scored, just sort of sat still. And half the people went up and half just sat still. And then when, I think I said on the monopod thing, guy behind me, you know, Celtic make it 2, and the guy behind me in about the 95th minute, as we are pressing forward, says, this is it. This is where they'll score. And then, like, within a minute, we score. And when I sat back down, he'd gone. And I didn't go mental or anything. I just sort of, like, didn't want to meet. You're in somebody else's house, you know. Bit of manners.
Yeah, of course.
Bit of decorum.
Well, you must have been inside. You must, because, you know, me and my brother and my son jumping about the living room. It's like, wow, we're doing this again. Like, we're doing this again. The third time in 9 days or something.
It is amazing. That we can. I actually think it's one of those things that, much as people say, no, you can't keep doing it, but I actually think the more you do it, the more likely you are to be able to do it because the players believe in it.
And just as importantly, the opposition believe, uh-oh. You know what I mean? They're almost frozen by the fear that it will happen.
Yep.
So it's that double psychology. Because I think that psychology is what Celtic and Rangers, traditionally, as I say, what's taken them through so often is because just the other team thinks, oh my God, here it comes again. You know, normally from, it used to be from the start of games when Celtic could kind of blow teams away, but now it's like, it comes at the end of games when they can just squeak through. But you know, when you think about things have to go right, it's like, because look at some of the ways that these winners have been fashioned in the last week or so. You think so many things have to go right, and they go right. You know, Oxlade-Chamberlain, like, great strikes, and like Chavancara, like along the byline. What an incredible like a skill set he showed there to get that ball
Actually,
even back
watching it over.
across. But then it flicks off. It flicks off the Kamara player, so it just sits up. It sits up for.
Watching it over and over again, Chavancara doesn't know if there's somebody there. Because he takes it and he's not got a chance to see behind him. So he just
No.
takes it, turns it, and just hits it across in the there should be somebody there type thing. But bear in mind, he's the number nine. So the guy who should be there is him. But you're right, it then sits up in Araujo, who's expecting our right back to be firing in. And he actually hits it with his left foot. You know,
Yeah,
all
that's
these.
what my son was saying. I no, even he's weaker foot, and he melts it. Because the problem in the first half, which I actually didn't think Celtic were quite as bad as been presented subsequently, but it's just there's no conviction in their kind of their goal scoring efforts. Nobody melted a ball like Araujo did in that 96 minute or whatever. Because they had a few chances. If you think there was a Yang one, there Maeda should have scored. He should have buried it. That's the one thing. See if that had been a Negrin one. Maeda hit it. He hit it low. No, you need to put them high like Negrin does. He even did it again for his goal, didn't he, Negrin? He trapped it quite well, and then he shot it into the roof of the net. But it's just astonishing. But it can't. It's like we're back to this Mick McCarthy. Can't go on like this. It
It can.
can.
It can.
But something's got to give. Something's got to give. It's like
My
this
hope is the
isn't the
thing.
formula.
No, my hope that gives actually is that we start to play a bit better. That's my hope that gives. That the team starts
Yes.
to, the self-belief of we can always win this makes them play. You know, again, I said in the thing about what really I noticed the last couple of games, and it comes back to someone, you know, the older listeners on here will know who I'm talking about, who talked me through about one of the things he talked about watching a player, and he always used the League Cup final, you know, the one where Julian scores, and Fraser Forster had the brilliant game, saved a penalty against Morelos and stuff like that. And he always said that if you watch that game, when Celtic players are in difficulty, they passed it to Frimpong. Because he was the player that they trusted to be able to take the ball when everything's dire, to be able to take the ball, keep it, and move with it. And since then, I've kept an eye on when things aren't going well in the game. Who does the team trust with the ball? You know, they'll play passes to someone. They'll play a through ball for a striker. But who do they trust to keep the ball and hold the ball? And in the first half, there was only two players that the team trusted with the ball, and that was Kieran Tierney and Callum McGregor. But in the second half, the team trusted five players with the ball. They trusted Tierney, McGregor, James Forrest,
Yes.
Oxlade-Chamberlain, and Tonecki.
Tonight.
They trusted Tonecki, trusted those players with the ball, that they willingly gave the ball to those players and expected
Yeah.
them to do something with it.
I mean, well, I've just got a family party, birthday party there, and someone says, I genuinely think this might have been the turning point on Sunday, because also you see that joy that you can create. The players see that joy that they can create. Well, I've talked on here for so often about how joyless it's been for them. Well, you saw the other side of that. If we get this right, and that's what happened in the run-in when Brendan's first season back. It was at this time of the season, you thought, where's this winning run coming from? Where's the form coming from? You know, when they lost was it Motherwell? Or they were just scraping through, and you thought they can't keep doing this, and they did. They did because they found something else, and they thought, "Whoa, if we and you saw that Araujo saying that that's going to be a moment I'll live with him forever. I mean, that is a celebration. Never seen the like it in my puff. Never seen that. Never
I mean,
seen
where anything. I was in the main stand, quite far away on the telly, it wasn't quite that. But because people have moved forward, it looked like he was about a third of the way up.
Yeah.
Amongst the supporters, because you just could see his green and white jersey. But as I say, it wasn't quite as far up because people had come forward. But you just saw, wow, he's quite a way in there.
He was quite near the ultras, mind you. So I'm surprised one of them didn't say, fuck off of my seat. That's my seat, pal. Fuck off, that's my seat. We're sitting here.
But it was just a joy to you know, it that's what football's about. I always remember Danny Baker talking once on when he did 606 when it wasn't what it is now. It was more of a this type of chat. And I remember him saying, you know, when trouble breaks out, when a fight breaks out in the pitch and the commentators say, oh, this is the last thing we want to see, and Danny Baker saying, no, no.
It's the first thing we want to see. Yeah.
And the other thing he used to go on about is there anything better than a last minute winner? Apart from, and this wouldn't happen now with VAR, a last minute winner that when you watch the highlights realise should have been offside. Because his whole thing was the commentators on the game have this sort of holier than thou sometimes attitude with the supporters.
Yeah, this kind of faux morality. This faux morality. We're all, as a writer, you know, we used to have to write, it's a terrible advert for the game. You think, I don't believe this. I remember I wrote one after a Celtic Rangers game and it was all sorts and it was like, I think it was Brown, you know, doing all his thing to the Rangers supporters and all this kind of, it was all that kind of stuff. And it was like, I thought it was mesmerising. You couldn't take your eyes off it.
Yeah. And you'll have been the same as me. I don't know how many people that I, you know, people retweeting foreign media outlets.
Yeah. So saying, plenty American ones.
Scottish football. I saw one and it was American. It was an American soccer one saying,
yes,
"This is the passion they have in European soccer that we don't get."
That's what it was like it's a bit different. Emotion hits a bit different or something, doesn't it? It said in European football or something, doesn't it? Or something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it's not about the entertainment or something. I saw that one as well. And it's like, so that would, I mean, we would see that if it happened in another country, that would come across your feeds. You would see that, the guy running in and sticking his tongue out and kind of, because he sat there for ages, you thought, when's he coming back on the pitch?
And actually from the Celtic's behind the goal angle, the way he's like one of the Olympian doing the grabbing their skis, going over the jump type thing.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah,
he goes over the advertising hoard and he sort of like puts his feet off at an angle and grabs his feet and then jumps on.
But you think that guy's he's just a lone player. He might only be here for 5 months. But to see that passion, to see what it means to them. And I was reading Chavin Chara today saying, I just want to do everything I can to get signed here. You think, well, These things are good things to hear and good things to see. You know, we're seeing people. You just want them to play as if they mean it. It's no happening. It's so patchy. Celtic are so patchy and they just drift for certain points. But there's players there that are willing to play like they mean it. And Oxlade-Chamberlain, he wants the next year here. He wants to play his way in to another contract.
Absolutely, because he's probably in the what Craig Gordon was when he came back for us. You're a player who you've looked in the eyes of retirement. You've looked into the retirement's been a real possibility that you weren't wanting it this early. So you grab this chance with Celtic with both hands.
And if you do play for Celtic, and I know like the whatever happened with Cara aside, but you think, win this title, every chance I'm playing Champions League football. I never thought I'd be in that environment again, these echelons. You know, there are big prizes playing for Celtic, and you play in front of, because Araujo said that afterwards in his post-match as well, he says, you just don't see that. But he's coming for Bournemouth.
Yeah.
Like 11,000. an average 11, you know, average gate 11,000. And if they, you know, if they do it, then they'll take the absolute roof off, because people, just all this pent up frustration that we've all had, you know, it'll turn. And there was nothing better. I mean, that first season back, let's be honest about it, it was one of the more enjoyable ones, because you thought it might not happen, because we'd heard Clement was going to get his treble and all that, and then Celtic end with a double.
Yeah.
And 3 months before, nobody said that was happening.
I
So, I mean,
just
that's the good side of it. I mean, the downside is, how do you get there?
yeah,
You
I
don't
mean the
necessarily get there.
next and this is what we'll go on to, the next four games are hard. I mean, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm one for, I want us to win a European trophy, and but there is a part of me, and obviously I'm going to be turning up. We're recording this on Tuesday night, but I think the goodness is going to go out on Thursday morning. So as you're listening to this, I'm wanting us to win tonight against Stuttgart as you're listening to this. But there's a part of me thinks, wouldn't be the end of the world if we hadn't got through and we weren't playing Stuttgart home and away with Rangers in the middle. Especially, I think, I know I keep going on about it, and St Anthony thinks that I'm, you know, I have a extra special love for the guy, but I think Engels in this period is a massive loss. Absolutely enormous loss.
Huge, huge. Because my worry is they just don't have any kind of physicality. And the one thing that nobody can deny about Engels, I know St Anthony thinks, can he tackle a fish supper and such like? I don't think that's necessarily fair, but just a bit of mobility, getting about the pitch, scampering about the pitch, a good frame. You know, these sound like very
No,
kind of
but
low
actually,
bars, but
see
he
when you're
had all
playing a
that.
team that's at least your standard, or there or thereabouts of your standard, a wee bit below and a bit higher, having a player who gets about the pitch and is able to be in the space when you've not got the ball that prevents the opposition playing. I mean,
Athleticism. Celtic
yeah.
don't have an awful lot of athleticism. That's my concern about Rangers, but that's and it's obviously a concern that Stuttgart as well. With Stuttgart, I've got some really top class, especially midfield. They're so strong in midfield. You know, they've got this guy. Well, I've forgotten all my. I forgot. I've now forgotten all my. No, my best. I mean, he's 48 goals in 100 appearances. My boy tells me about all these players.
We've got Benjamin Nyckeren, who scores a million goals in appearances. 16 goals Nyckeren scored this season. I read a brilliant tweet saying, "I've never been so pleased and exasperated with a Celtic player all at the same time." He
Yeah,
scores
what was it?
goals.
No. Yeah, what did he say? He said he's my favourite hated Celtic player or something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Favourite shite Celtic player, wasn't it? It was a good tweet. I mean, they do have, as I say, they're especially strong in midfield. Here's your man. He's quite well known. He says, as he couldn't remember his name, but what have I done with that? Oh, people always say, I can't believe it's like just choking in the choking. Well, they've got that like their winger's pretty. I think he's a top scorer in the Europa
Stella?
League.
No.
Stiller's a good player. Jamie Lewelling, he's a winger. Where is this dude? Angelo Stiller as well. Angelo Stiller. They've got another guy. As I say, most of their really Bilal El Kanous. He's a joint top scorer in Europe as well. Another midfielder, as I say, that's where it seems to be that most of their threats carried, in midfield. But it's like that's it. Deniz Undav, he scored 17 goals this season. He's their vice captain. But
Right.
he's been with them the last 3 seasons and he's got 48 goals and 100 appearances. So you have to, because people have said, oh, he should be experimenting, he should play a shadow team and all that. He's not going to do
No.
that.
No.
And he's quite right not to do that, not in the home leg. Because Martin said, well, what was the point in through all that hard work to get here if you then don't give it a go? He'll give it a go this time around, but say it went badly, I think he would seriously think about trying a few players out in the return leg.
The other thing about that concept of don't go for it. Well, the other aspect is the massive downer. Can you imagine if we went out even if we did play a reserve team and everybody knew it was a reserve team and get thumped 5-0 at home. The negativity that that would, between Thursday night and Sunday, the negativity that that would throw around our team.
You're right. But I remember Walter Smith saying to us, because they knew it was going to cause them problems if they kept going forward, then UEFA Cup. Mm-hmm. And he came in at us one Friday. He said, I've been getting it all wrong my whole career. He said, I should have been trying to lose games years ago, like, you know, because they were wanting to go out, but it came to the game and you couldn't, because, you know, I think these guys are professionals. You're not going to try your best.
Yeah, and in the back, they're going to lift the game.
Yeah,
the crowd lifts them, the atmosphere lifts them, the event, the magnitude of the event lifts them. The opposition played different. You know, you hear people talking about, if we struggle against Kilmarnock, what's it going to be like a bit against Stuttgart? Well, for a start, I know people are going to say, well, obviously they're going to be different because Stuttgart are a better team than Kilmarnock. But as we've seen in the European games under Martin, because the opposition coming out, we play completely differently because the space on the pitch is completely different.
Completely different. And the one hope to cling to, they've had their issues away from home, Stuttgart. They're not, I mean, they had a pretty easy 8 fixture. They won at home to sell, but I mean, they lost three or four away games they lost. And the one that they won was against Go Ahead Eagles. No offence to them, but they lost away to Bow 2-0. They lost away to Fenerbahce, and they lost away to our pals Roma. They lost away to St Pauli 2 weeks ago. But by the same token, 5 weeks ago, they won 4-1 against Leverkusen. You know, they're sixth in the Bundesliga, yeah. So... I mean, you shouldn't think Celtic... I could see Celtic putting it. That's the thing about Martin O'Neill's teams, that, you know, like, whatever they lack, and they lack, there's myriad flaws, but they will kind of... they'll put themselves through it. I mean, that's almost... See, Sunday, you just wanted... when I come out for the second half, and you just thought, just don't meekly lose another goal here. Like Dundee earlier in the season, when you think about it, you think, right, they'll turn this around the second half. They'll give it a go. No. They were losing 2-0 at Dens Park in his second last game, Roger's second last game, and they lost 2-0, didn't they? You know, they never went anywhere.
Yeah.
But whereas, you just know that that's not going to be the case for an O'Neill team. Or you think there's a good chance that they'll go down swinging.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, he spoke to them at half-time. I do think it's interesting. I read a lot of people criticising him for not playing Tonetke when Tonetke played well. When he come on, did he come on against Livingston and played well?
Yeah.
But I actually think Tonetke's best games have all been when he's come on as a sub. And the games where people have been pissed off at him have been the games when he started.
Yeah, he got He got a lot of stick. What was that? He started against Dundee in the cup, didn't he? And he got a lot of stick. Mm-hmm. I actually thought he did okay, and he's clearly that was a. I mean, never mind watching Araujo's kind of match-winning moment. You could watch his goal again and again. I mean, that's a hell of a strike. That's what we used to call in the trade a howitzer.
But and I was sitting and it was right behind it. The minute he left his boot, it was one of those ones you just saw it, and you just saw it's got a slight curl on it, and you just knew it was going in the top corner. It was a beauty. But so, what do you think, Martin?
He's got something off it, but you know, I actually wouldn't necessarily play him because I would think about the 20 games. You know, the best games that Maeda's had for Celtic in recent months have been in Europe. Yep. I know he looks as if he's completely lost, but my son's got this theory. He thinks, well, this is it's more exposure for me. Mm-hmm. It's like I've been subconsciously thinking if I'm going to sell myself. I remember it was a German club that, Wolfsburg, wasn't it? Last summer.
Yep. I think it's that dilemma that it's dead easy for supporters. You know, somebody remember once having someone on a podcast and they said, you know, all these supporters who tell a manager what he's doing right and wrong have never been standing on a touchline with 60,000 people shouting at them.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, why was Brendan not playing Engels when the midfield just functioned better every time Engels was in it? Well, I understood it because we had no goals in the team and Hitati and Negrin are more of a goal threat than Engels. Same with, well, why isn't he playing? Why did he start with Maeda instead of Tanecki? Because actually Maeda, if he gets it right, is more of a goal threat than Tanecki is.
Clearly.
And has, as you pointed out, has achieved it in Europe this season.
Yeah, I'd be tempted, you know, no, to keep half an eye. Because he knows he's, and he knows it's maybe not a bad thing that Oxlade-Chamberlain isn't eligible for Europe.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to play midweeks these next 2 weeks. You just want him playing in these Sunday games. You want him playing in these Sunday games. You want him starting at Ibrox. Yep. So this is not a bad way to build up to that. Well, I would imagine he might well start Sunday against Hibs. But there's no even any temptation to play him. That's taken out your hands. I saw today, I know I get shot down for it by St. Anthony, but I saw Alan in Celtic by Numbers, paddle board or whatever. Like, he was talking about playing Tierney in midfield. Did you see that today? He had a thread on it.
No, I didn't.
Yeah. He was talking about playing him in midfield. And Sarachi, as we said, remember I said, he's played 63 of his 245 games, senior games he's played. I didn't realise Sarachi was quite as old. Means he's 28 or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
It's like El Hamed, isn't it? Like, he's this guy like they've just got there. Like,
I actually thought Tierney did, you know, you were saying about we weren't as bad against Kilmarnock in the first half as people were saying. Tierney got to the byline quite a lot in the first half against Kilmarnock.
Yeah. It's just it doesn't all kind of click together, does it?
No. And I suppose the other benefit for Martin with this midweek, that the first game after it is against Hibs at home. I wouldn't be surprised if... Well, firstly, you've got Oxlade-Chamberlain, who can play at Hibs to give him game time. So you can give him more game time against Hibs. He doesn't play in Europe, so you continue to build him up. But it means you know he can come in. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw the big Brentford centre-half play against Hibs at the weekend to try and give some break to Scales, or maybe that's just wishful thinking.
I wondered about that. I mean, Trusty's having one of these. My boy got his picture with him Saturday night. I saw that.
Right. Like, yeah.
And he shouldn't have been getting his hair cut at 7 o'clock on Saturday night, you know, like, because there was too many close shaves in the Sunday afternoon. Boom, boom. Like, honest to God, somebody said you should pretend to him that every team is like, you know, put a no on the end of it, you know, like you're playing away from home, like Hibernio, you know.
When it goes,
we trust it goes, doesn't it?
Yep.
When he's off it, it's like, whoa. It's like your heart is in your mouth every time the ball goes near him.
Yep. Do you know, though, I always remember when we beat Ajax under Martin over there, 3-1. I always remember saying to my mate, do you know, my heart is in my mouth. Our defence always looks like it's all over the place, but somebody always gets a leg or a body in the way of the ball. And there is an element of that just now where they're defending, that the ball's getting into the box and you're thinking, just clear it.
No.
And then...
Two instances, I think even just before, was it just before they scored or whatever, there was one of these ones, everybody's hacking at it. And you think, why is there, it's just the lack of conviction running right through the team this season. It's a good schoolboy stuff. There's quite schoolboy kind of moments in the box.
The modern world with VAR and everything, I do think at times that does make people a bit more, you know, the penalty we give him away against Livy was, I'm just going to swing a leg to try and hit this. And a Livy player just gets his boot in the way and it's a penalty. I do think because of that, people are more cautious about just sticking a foot in to try and hoof the ball away. Because you're seeing fewer of the hoofing it up.
No, that's a good point.
Clearances. Because I think when you're swinging it that viciously.
That's true. It's all so tentative, isn't it?
Yeah. What's your team going to be against Stuttgart?
I mean, I know what my team would be, right? But he will never play it. Because you know actually who I'd play in the right? Because I'd read that he can play all across the front line. My front three, right, would be Maeda, Chavancara, and Adama. To see if this guy has got it. Because let's be honest about it, since that beautiful kind of little swipe, back flick, you haven't really seen an awful lot from him, have you?
Who are the three
It's
players
hard
in
for
the
these
position?
guys to get up to speed. I understand that.
Who were the three guys that we added to the squad? It was
That was
Chavancharo,
Adamu
Adamu.
and
Was it Mvusa?
Aroha. No,
Oh, it's Aroha.
Aroha. Yeah, keep getting him wrong. That's some tattoo he's got on his back. You seen that one?
It is. I'm surprised that I got past Dermot.
I know, I thought he didn't like signing players with tattoos.
He
Gee
doesn't.
whiz.
Just looking through, because the other interesting thing is, 2 games in a row now, and Vuka hasn't even made the bench after his start when he played 45.
He was the guy that, if it hadn't been for something showing up in his medical, we all assume it was his heart problem.
Yeah.
But Celtic would have paid 3.5 million for him.
Yeah, and he didn't even make the bench the last 2 games.
Because, I would even play James Forrest or something. Give James Forrest his last kind of, perhaps his kind of last kind of European
Yeah, I
hurrah
just
at
don't
Celtic.
know if he's got a full 90 minutes in him. But you're
No, but
right.
you
I
wouldn't
mean,
need.
your point
Just
about
mix it up, because I.
Adamu, because as you say, I think he can play. I'm just trying to look to see if it's got if I've got a note of how many games he's played in the junior Adamu. If I'm just trying to see how many games he's played on the right hand side. Yeah, he can play centre forward, left and right. I'm just trying to see if I can see how many times he's played on the right.
He's not, he doesn't look a goal scorer, does he?
No. But then Chavancharo reminds me, I mean, I know Mark Lanihil said this, he reminds me a lot of Chris Sutton in the way that he moves. And Sutton was never
Yeah.
the out and out goal scorer. He played with somebody
He
else.
wasn't.
And Adamu doesn't look like an
Would you,
out
I
and out
mean, would
goal scorer.
the problem is, you know what I'd like to see him trying? Is a 3-5-2, but after just Celtic are spooked by the notion of
Yeah,
playing
we're not
three
going
at
to
the
do
back.
that. I mean, the only other thing that I talked about at the weekend with our midfield being so poor, I actually wouldn't be so averse to Martin sort of going for the slightly more traditional Martin O'Neill style of being a bit more direct and getting the ball up and then, playing off the second ball and playing four with,
Yeah.
but not an out and out 4-4-2 in terms of if you'd say Adamu or even Nygren playing with the striker, that the other person just got the remit to be wherever they want, but just a bit more playing that up to just a bit more
But having
direct.
two central midfielders, that's the thing that you don't feel as if Celtic have.
No.
Because they don't. That's what somebody was talking about. I don't know if it was you was talking about. You saw it even when Oxlade-Chamberlain come on, him and McGregor were rotating in the kind of
Yep.
more sitting role because they kind of knew that, you have to kind of cover that. Whereas if McGregor's there, well, he's not rotating with Nygren or Hatate.
And
It's
that's
not,
the
that's
pro
not
and
going to
that's the
happen.
problem. So you saw that there was a thing I saw, how the Herald newspaper group have got that they've got the Rangers
Yeah,
review and they've got a Hibs version and a Hearts version, they've got a
Yeah, in
Kilmarnock
the
one as
Celtic
well.
way.
Celtic one
Yeah.
doesn't really kick off because Celtic don't give them any access, but I saw the Kilmarnock one talking about how Kilmarnock got their tactics right in the first half because they had two guys who went to close down our centre halves. And they had somebody who was just sitting on McGregor. And
Right.
you just stop that. That's the three. But the minute you stick another, this is why I think it's so important the minute to have another midfielder in Engels matters, the minute you stick another midfielder in there, because I'm not meaning this, but Hatate and Nygren are almost playing like not midfielders for us. They're just players who are somewhere on the pitch in terms of usability as midfielders. The minute you stick somebody else in there, that ability for the opponents to just effectively mark McGregor out of the game goes because there's another guy who can do that role, who can come back, who can come deep, take the ball off the centre halves, And opponents can't then afford to have two guys in the centre half and two guys man-marking in midfield, because then it creates too much.
I mean, Sarachi's the other one I've suggested a bit, because he's, as I say, he's played in midfield in his career. He's played wide left, but I don't think that would be wide left in the sense that he wouldn't be playing kind of wide left, if you like. It's not like a winger type thing.
Yeah.
So you can move him in, one. You can move him in and put him beside McGregor, essentially. You could play the one you're talking about, a 4-4-2, but not quite a 4-4-2, but a 4-4-1-1.
Yeah.
With Negrin sitting in front of those two. The problem is there's... And I used to... Didn't he argue? Used to have these kind of vibrant discussions with Postecoglou about... I said, would you ever... I hate the phrase, right? But there's no other way of putting it. There's no other way of putting it. I said, would you never ever play a double pivot? Would you ever sign a guy? And he said, no. You know, he was quite bold about it. I'll never do that. And if you think about it, in those early days when they got it right, before he blew the two of them out, he ran them to the kind of like Rogic and Turnbull. Do you remember? They two played in front of McGregor, because he was refusing to play someone more defensive that would be another, you know, the double pivot. It was always to be two attack midfielders and one guy screening the defence. Maybe McGregor's not quite the McGregor he was even there. Then, you know, he's got a lot of miles in the clock, if we're talking about.
I'm just trying to look for Junior Adamu. I can't quite do it because I'm talking on here at the same time he's trying to look at. I'm trying to see how many times he has played.
I can find it if an open
the right wing.
I know, but people.
He's played a reasonable number of times on the right wing, so you know.
Why not? Try it. I mean, you're not. It's not as if you're taking mighty risks. This might work. This might work better than what you would do with a starting 11 that we know is not quite working. So I'm not saying that you're not chucking. You're not throwing the Stuttgart game. You're trying something, because you'll need to try something if you're going to win this. You need to do something different for you. What's been happening? I mean, you've played the three poorest teams in the league, effectively. The three bottom, like the 12th, 11th and 10th, and you're scraping past them by a cigarette paper, if I'm doing my Sunday version of that terminology, you know.
He's played 10 games as a right winger, so not that many, actually.
Right, I thought it would maybe more than that.
No, he's played 164 as a centre-forward. So I would say, he's a centre-forward. He's played 10 goals as a right winger, 4 as a second striker, 3 as a left winger, and 3 as an attacking midfielder. Cumulatively, he's played under 20 games in positions other than a centre forward.
All right, I'm going back to my Sarachi one then, because he has played. He's 63 games effectively 2 seasons playing as a left midfielder. So you just slide him in. I think that could work, sliding him in beside McGregor. Just getting that, especially when you're playing a European team, because that was the Mark's frustration about Ange. But when you're playing teams that are better than you, do you no need to maybe just kind of take it down, you know, take it down a level?
Just 5%.
I know. Just a wee bit more defensive, which we know that O'Neill would think that way.
Yeah.
No, it's no safety first, but it's like, just be a wee bit more cautious. Just acknowledge. Just acknowledge the circumstances you're in. So why not? I mean, I know it, but what does that do, I suppose? What does that do? Does it matter what it does for McCown or Bernardo?
Well, Bernardo, really, Bernardo should be... not even getting on the bench these days.
Yeah. I mean, Sarachi could play in there. And he gets about the pitch, you know? He gets about the pitch. He's busy.
I think... If I was to pick the team right now for the Stuttgart game, it would be Schmeichel in goals, Araujo on the right, Scales and Trusty,
Tierney in the left.
It will be McGregor, Hitati and Negrin. It will be
Yang probably in the right.
Up front. And
Chavanchara.
It will probably be
Tumekti.
Yang on the right and Maeder on the left.
All right, do you think? We'll go
with. I reckon that's what we'll start with.
Tati could kind of, do you not think he could try something different for the kind of Hatate position? Something more defensive? Would he even play?
Because I don't think he's going to ask Kieran Tierney or Saracchi, who've only ever played for Celtic at left back. I don't think, or obviously Tierney in a back, you know, as a centre half, but in defence, I don't think he's going to ask them to suddenly in a European night play at centre half. It's actually, I think, it's the type of thing that Neil Lennon would be more likely to suddenly pull out the bag on a European night, something different like that. He was more likely to, you know, when he played.
Yeah, you're right.
Adam Matthews at left back to deal with Messi, because he always wants to cut inside. So, you know, that's the type of thing I could see Neil Lennon doing, but Martin O'Neill, no, I don't see it. And the challenge for Martin is that I don't really, in the way that Martin will set up like that, I really don't see an alternative three for the middle of the pitch than Deacon and Hitati. You know, with Oxlade-Chamberlain not available and Engels injured,
maybe even try McCown for Hitati?
If you noticed how McCown's getting a decreasing amount of game time under Martin, and
I saw Sean Maloney talking him up last week, because I actually thought it sounded as if he was going to play. He was going to start against Kilmarnock.
Yeah, but he's getting a decreasing amount of game. I mean, he didn't come on as a sub, and there was a head knock. So, you know, against Dundee in extra time, there was a head knock in extra time, 7 substitutions in the Dundee game. And against Kilmarnock, we could have made Kilmarnock made 6 substitutions. We didn't, because it was a head knock. And we didn't bring him on. And
He did come on against Dundee because he was involved in the Tynecty goal. Against Livingston? Was it Livingston he didn't come on?
He didn't come on against Livingston, he didn't come on against Kelly. And I think all the managers have been reluctant to bring him on in European games.
Right.
You know, if you remember back to when we played Bayern Munich and the team was out on its feet in Munich, Brendan Rodgers only made 3 substitutions that night.
He wasn't trying to make a point. I don't believe in that. Like, people are trying to win games, but he just thought to himself, I've got nothing to turn to in the bench.
No, I think he looked at the bench and thought, well, I'm pretty sure he looked at the bench and thought, there's nobody I can bring on who's going to have the team at the level. Or I think he thought, if I make a substitution, the team's going poorer. I tell you, just thinking about this run of games that we've got and everything, the other thing we do have to consider for this title run-in is whether Engels, I think, is March, they're expecting him back.
Yeah.
It's whether...
Where's Osmond?
I was just going to say whether any of Osmond, Alistair Johnson or Carter Vickers have got a chance of coming back a wee bit earlier. You know how often people say, oh, this guy's not going to be back until that day, but actually they get back a game, you know, there's 2 or 3 games in it that they can come back.
Yeah.
I think that would just give a lift to the support and the squad. Even if those players were back for the last 6.
Cameron Carter-Vickers, you know, can you imagine if you did him? I mean, will we see the Cameron Carter-Vickers at his very best? To me, he surpassed, in terms of what we saw of Virgil van Dijk, in terms of the best Celtic centre-back in 2 decades. That was Cameron Carter-Vickers at his best.
I'm not quite in the Cameron Carter Vickers is the greatest thing since sliced bread camp.
I think
when we played in European games, you've seen why he's playing for Celtic. He lacks pace and height.
Great awareness, but, and you talk about last ditch challenges.
But he brings a calmness that, you know, I went to see my doctor the other day and said, I'm not sure if I can go through the title running. And he said, who do you support? And I said, Celtic. The problem's Liam Scales, and I can't do anything about that. Liam Scales...
I thought we were getting a doctor joke there.
Liam Scales is fine if he doesn't have to think about being in possession of the football.
But the problem is, like, whatever Scales deficiencies, Trusty, as I say, Trusty scares me witless.
Oh, the
Trusty leaves me, you know, like Tom and Jerry, when Jerry chews through an electricity cable and they go, you know what I mean, white and black kind of thing, and you see inside their skeleton.
Yeah, it's that. That's why I do wonder whether he'll give, I mean, because you're looking at it, whether he'll give the Brentford boy a go, because you're looking at it at the moment thinking, well, he's not going to try him out for the first time against Rangers away, twice, against Aberdeen away. See, you're then looking at it thinking, When would he get a game? Is he only going to get a game if somebody breaks a leg? I'm quite sure Brentford weren't that chuffed. Wouldn't have been that chuffed about sending him up on loan. We don't think we're going to play the boy. So I do think there's going to have to come a time when you play him.
He's
in game time.
He wasn't even in the squad on Sunday,
no, he's
was
not
he?
In the European squad.
No, but he wasn't in the Kilmarnock squad.
He was
Sunday,
on the bench on Kilmarnock.
Ham and money.
Hold on, I'll tell you. I was pretty certain he was on the bench. Anyway, so what's your team going to be? Well, I'll look that up.
Well, I don't disagree with you. It's not the team I want. I think this is the opportunity. Just try one, like a kind of try for one rabbit out of hat. Try for one rabbit out of hat. And I'd say maybe it is Sarachi then rather than. I think Tierney could play in there. I know St Anthony, and I know a lot of the people that were responding to Alan Morrison, were saying he's not technical enough. Look, he struggled at Arsenal with inverted fullback role. But that's completely different for you. Try it. When you think of kind of Greg Taylor, he has proved a loss. In that kind of sense, like, you wonder about what was he contributing in terms of midfield, because he was a midfielder converted to a fullback.
It gets back to my point about that we talked about people just marking Callum McGregor. Suddenly, if you've got another body in there, in the middle of the pitch, in that defensive position,
you could thread the ball through. Or he could be sitting off at the edge of the box. We don't seem to play combinations in the edge of the area anymore. You notice that? There's no combinations for Celtic's play. It's like, use a guy as a wall pass kind of thing. We don't seem to do that anymore, do we?
I just feel there's a lack of bravery. I know it's this type of phrase that Gordon Strachan would use, but there's a lack of bravery in decision-making. I think, you know, getting back to my comment earlier about they're only trusting a couple of players with the ball, and then they'll play it out wide for one of the wide men to see if they can run round and put a cross in. But there's no
Yeah.
The majority of the teammates with passes in dangerous positions for you know, we saw it in the Dundee game where McGregor made the pass and ran out wide and put the cross. There's no,
yeah.
I'm going to make a pass. I trust you so much that I will pass the ball to you and I will move out of position. I think there's a lack of faith that if I pass the ball to you and I move out of position, you're not going to lose it. And suddenly there's a big gaping hole. So it's conservative football with a small C. If we all stay in this position and then we just work it wide and then we'll just see if one of the wide guys can run and put the ball in. If they don't, they don't. And if they do, they do. That type of mentality.
Yeah. As opposed to running off people and hoping that you get the ball in behind. I mean, see, when you looked at it, actually, was it Livingston? See, the first 15 minutes of Livingston was very unusual because twice Callum McGregor played someone in behind, played a ball in behind. Well, they should have scored twice for those. And you thought, where's that been? I've not even seen Callum McGregor doing that.
Yeah.
It's like, right. Celtic have reverted to what Brendan Rodgers used to talk about. Safe football. Yeah. Which is no safe.
No, but in...
I know,
each pass is safe.
Each pass is safe, yeah. In a micro level, it's safe. In a macro level, it's disastrous.
So what's your prediction for the score
that
against...
cable again. I think it will be a battling 1-1. I think it'll be a battling 1-1.
I'll go 2-1.
Because they don't need to win it. They know they don't need to win it.
Yeah. I'll go 2-1 Celtic.
Yeah, I was thinking. What does he do then? But does that give him the kind of dilemma about this isn't all is not lost?
2-1 gives him the chance to. He's got results away from home.
I know. That's the one thing you can say.
So 2-1 and then. Hey, do you know what? See, when you're at this stage of the season, how many games have we got left? Just play every game. I know it's very football managery. Just play every game on its merits. Just play this game and see what players you've got available for the next game. And play the next game and see what players you've got for the next game.
Yeah.
Just play the football. Players can rest in May. Just again, and I'm not sure how easy it's been for us to do this with the disruption, but I always remember, God, it was like 10, 15 years ago now. It was an interview with Mourinho when he was at Chelsea talking about And there was a real run of it, and you still see it now where the teams at the top of the English Premiership will have the bulk of the games that they lose tend to be November, December time. Yep. Mourinho had said because titles are won in March. Titles and trophies are won in March, April, May. So everything about what they do for the sports science, for the players, is to have them at their fittest in March, April, May. And obviously you can get injuries that come in and whatever. But if that's the sort of concept behind it, that you're building players up so that they are at their physical peak pretty much from now on, because you can't afford to start picking and choosing. If you are an elite team that wants to win trophies, you can't start picking and choosing games once you get to March, was his point. You just have to pay the players that are best suited for that game and worry about the next game. What if we play a weakened team and actually get a half-decent result? And you think, well, if we'd actually gone for it.
I'd like to see them doing something. I don't know what it is then. Is it playing, you're talking about your 4-4-2, is it playing a 4-4-2, but playing, because can you imagine, actually, could be wrong, because we've seen this before, that he doesn't actually play well alongside a partner, but Chavanchara and Maeda going long, well, Chavanchara coming short.
That hasn't been so noticeable in the last couple of games, but I felt was really, really noticeable when we played Utrecht, and then we played somebody else, can't remember who it was. There was a couple of games there where it was really obvious that the second the opposition had the ball, we went to a 4 without the ball, with the striker and Negrin's job. It looked to me like we found our own after all. Negrin's job was to do the running around and closing down space when they up front, when they had the ball. Cause
he was running after the ball, you know, it was the ball the way. Wait, it's like a bus running after the bus. It's just
exactly.
Like,
I mean, like I often say, like my dog running after the ball in the field, you know, it's over there. But it's almost like, well, he's not adding any value in the middle of the pitch when we've not got the ball. So we'll send him up there because at least he can run around and chase stuff down. And then if we get a break back up, he's in the position where he's quite good at doing something with it in an attacking sense. But we, you know, the two wingers went really into a flat four. And I did wonder, you know, they must see something more defensive in Yang than the other wingers, because Nancy was playing him as a right back or the right whatever position he was.
Well, if you think about him that first half against Rangers when he scored his brilliant goal, but he was aggressive. He was winning tackles. We haven't seen a lot of Celtic players regularly winning tackles in this last 6 months. He was getting himself in and about there, and he's actually one I think you should play him at Ibrox. Play him in the right at Ibrox and Tonechty in the left. I know we're throwing it forward. Four podcasts, five mini pods.
So we get this finished. So we've done Stuttgart. What's your prediction for the Hibs game?
You know, Hibs are always a awkward beggar for Celtic, aren't they? They're capable, but I mean, surely God, Celtic can. You know, as you say, it's hard to see it in isolation. Celtic get a good result, then there will only be a tiredness factor. If you can get Oxlade-Chamberlain starting, that's got to be a big plus.
Just looking.
I mean, I think they will. I think they could win. You could see them winning a 2-0 against Hibs. Maybe 2-1 again, but
Hearts are at home to Falkirk.
It's not a gimme. That's not a gimme.
No, I tell you,
Rangers
what,
I think it'll be really interesting.
I think it'll be really interesting to see whether that's it for Hearts.
They looked out in their feet. It disturbed me that Rangers kind of bullied them out on Sunday, and Hearts have bullied Celtic to an extent out of games. Rangers, they're not great players, but they've got a lot of big athletic. They've got a lot of athletic players now, athletes.
But the thing that
that's all he's tried to do. He's tried to kind of maximise that.
Yeah.
With his signs.
Two things. One of my mates is a Rangers fan. It's like the same text every week. This is shite. We are rubbish. This is what he's sending me during the middle of Rangers games. We just need, do you know what? Just win games.
That's what Martin, and that's the good thing is, Martin O'Neill would say that to them. We just got to win some games.
Just win games. Don't lose at Ibrox in the league.
Tell you,
Don't lose
imagine it if they.
don't lose at Ibrox in the win in the league. Beat Aberdeen. Cup game will take care of itself and just win all the other games.
Yeah, it's Motherwell are coming to Celtic Park, aren't they? That'll be.
Yep. Just win. I know it's easier
Yep.
said than done, but just keep winning games. Hearts and Rangers have both got to come to Celtic Park after the split. So just win games.
Put it this way, if you'd have said you've got a game in hand to be joint top of the league, if you'd have thought that one should after you'd lost to Rangers in the January 3rd or whatever the hell it was, you
Yep.
would have taken it now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You would have taken it.
Yeah, if you'd said
Celtic.
we will be 3 points off top with a game in hand, you'd be like, wow, brilliant.
That's the way you've got to look at it. That is funny. That's what he was almost kind of hinting about that himself, wasn't it, Martin? He said, you know, when I come in the first time, it was like trying to claw back 8 points. He said, and then I've come back in and have to try and kind of claw our way back in. It's like, oh, jeez. You could tell he's thinking, if you'd have just left me for
I know.
the way through.
Anyway,
Oh. I
yeah.
mean, the accounts just slid over that, didn't they? Like,
Yeah.
it wasn't it possible for Wilfred to introduce his ideas during the season?
Not quite as bad as was a Don McKay, who'd never existed in Celtic's history. I always remember I tweet from every AGM, so I rarely ask questions because I can't be bothered. Because it actually makes it difficult. People don't realise how difficult it is to tweet, and all you're trying to do is say what's been said.
Yeah.
And it's actually really difficult to do that in real time. Listen, write what's being said, particularly if somebody then goes on a ramble and you're just trying to convey the gist of a question, or whatever. And so only once, twice have I ever asked a question. I always remember after the Don McKay one, thinking, we had a chief executive who was appointed, shadowed Peter Lawwell for 3, 4 months, then was in charge himself, allegedly appointed Ange. Although everybody seems to have appointed Ange. You know, everybody takes the
Yeah,
blame for
yeah.
Ange.
What is it again? Success has many fathers, failure's an orphan.
Yes. He wasn't even, it wasn't even mentioned that he existed at the full. I always remember after us leaving the AGM thinking, they never mentioned him and nobody asked a question. Nobody said, whatever happened with that guy, Don McKay? At the SEC stuff complex now. Anyway, so you're going for 1-1, I'll go for 2-1 Celtic against
Yep.
Stuttgart.
I'm going 2-0 for Sunday.
All right, okay. Well, I'll go for 2-1 Celtic, and we score in the 175th minute of injury time.
We score on the Monday.
I saw a guy. It's ridiculous that about injury time. But how long was Araujo in the stand and celebrating? That was about 3 minutes. They never added the 3 minutes on then. And you think, no, because he scored with 30 seconds left.
Yeah, but they
Off the
actually
injury
did.
time,
They
and they
played.
actually did, and they did play another like minute after that when he only should have played another 30 seconds because injury time was 7 minutes and we
Yeah.
scored at 96:31, I think it was on the clock.
Yeah.
So if you stop the clock there, 30 seconds for a goal, we should have kicked off and played 30 seconds.
But they played to 98.5 or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, a bit like it. And again, as I put in the piece that I put up,
I saw it.
Kamara could allowed to score two in injury time.
I know. I mean, I can't believe that. Again, it was another one of those. I don't know what the. I genuinely have no concept why people are wittering on about this. Because it 7 minutes was a light number of
Yeah.
added minutes.
Absolutely. It's like in the
Four
Livingston game.
stoppages. One of the stoppages lasted 2.5 minutes.
It's like in the Livingston game where. And only because Livingston have done it before, and again, it's one of the bugbears is that referees only start to look at pulling it up in the last 5 minutes. Well, they've done all the wasting, and they had 9 goal kicks, and I timed them. And I think the last couple, the guy only took 20 seconds. But the first 6 or 7, he took, I timed them, not from the ball going off. There's another 10 seconds when the ball goes off when he does that, you know, like the John Travolta meme when he's looking about trying to find.
Yeah.
Actually getting the ball in his hands, for me going right, he's in control of the ball. He's in a position to take a goal kick within 10 seconds here. It was 30 seconds every time. And he was standing looking, I was watching him standing looking at the clock. He's watching and then hitting it. I mean, so there's a good 3-4 minutes just in that.
But I mean, it wasn't even wise after the event. Chris Sutton said it at the time, you wouldn't know because you were at the game. He said it when the board went up with 7 minutes. He says, oh, I thought it would be more than that. He says, I thought that would definitely been more than 7 minutes. He says, where you think about these stoppages. Because it was the Alex Jules fella was down for a...
Yeah, it was because they had 3 head knocks, I think, they had.
And he had his three head knocks and a hamstring.
Mm-hmm.
I'll raise you 3 head knocks and a hamstring. One guy going off the pitch and sitting in the stands like with his tongue out for like 2 minutes.
But I suppose if you ignore the fact that McCann is a Rangers fan... And all that stuff.
Okay, we just be annoyed. It's just what
he's
managers...
He's annoyed and he's trying to find... He's managing a team that's in
it's
a
deflection.
Battle.
It's deflection.
So he's trying to find deflection from his team so that they can go again on Saturday.
Yeah. See, he's only lost because you were cheated out of it by a referee.
Yeah.
With a chocolate watch, as Jackie McNamara said about, remember the old Kilmarnock one, and they got 7 minutes, like 1998, you know, Bobby Tate. And he apparently went up to him drunk at the football writers that. He said, hey, Bobby, you got the time on you? I can no tell it with that fucking chocolate watch of yours.
Yeah, I'll not go into my, certainly the referees in those days, if you've ever been to a sportsman's dinner.
Well, I have.
And I have never heard an ex-referee say, and I was a Celtic fan and did X, Y, Z.
Cringy, but they wouldn't do it now.
Yeah. Anyway, so we'll see how it goes. You're going for a draw, I'll go for a win. We're both going for beating Hibs. And
it'll be fascinating. I mean, Stuttgart will be fascinating. Will the real Celtic turn up? Or do we not want the real Celtic to turn up? Is that what we're worried about these days?
The European Celtic will turn up.
Well, that gives us hope. Because, my God, never mind turning around a domestic season. How much, that's the funny thing is, they've gone about how Danny Rose turned around Rangers, but the third easiest running fixtures, O'Neill had the third most difficult, and O'Neill got the points to take Celtic through. He got the 7 points, I think, he took from his 4 games. Danny Rose got 1, didn't he?
Aye.
Was it 6 games or something?
We'll see when the real world comes. Anyway, enough of
this.
Yes,
I know.
Right, thanks for that.
No bother.
Bring me sunshine in your smile.
We hope you enjoyed that podcast. There will be more along soon. Please share the joy of Celtic Underground. Rate us wherever you can find us on your podcast provision. And also subscribe to thecelticunderground.substack.com. As you'll be aware, there are 2 types of subscription. There's free subscription, where you get a certain amount of content delivered directly to your email address. And then there's a paid-for subscription, where you get even more content delivered directly to your email address as and when it comes out. Anyway, enough of me. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. And this is me, Harry Brady, saying goodnight and God bless. Good night.
Bring me sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while. In this world where we live, there should be more happiness. So much joy you can give to each brand new bright tomorrow. Make me happy through the years. Never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love, sweet love. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me